We should make t-shirts that say I'm a Kathleen and it's like a plate overflowing with amazing food. And then I'm a Bethany and it's like a plate with a boot on it because that's where you keep your shoes.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen, your bad movie watching, never showering, too many books to read on my list friend.
And I'm Bethany, your Midwest visiting, early bird, currently going by the name Lena friend.
And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about...
I am talking about an interesting interview, Kathleen, that actually you sent me, that Elizabeth Gilbert did about not having children and the decision to not have children.
And I thought, you know, since you have said multiple times, you don't mind kids, kids just aren't for you. I thought this would be a really interesting topic for you to discuss.
Yeah. And she had some really good things to say, not just about children, but relationships in general. So I think even if you're someone who really has different views on children or whatever, stick around for the relationship stuff because that's really good as well. What about you, Kathleen? What'd you bring today?
I sent you a screenshot yesterday of this weird ass Reddit account that I came across. It's called Shower Orange.
Which I had never heard of before.
Shower Orange is dedicated to the consumption of various citrus fruits while taking a shower. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about all the weird things that people do in the shower and other great snacks other than oranges that are great for eating when you're in the shower.
Ooh, there are some – people don't understand how great it is to eat in the shower or to drink in the shower. Coffee in the shower?
No,
wonderful.
Bethany. No, no. It what? Doesn't make any sense. So can you explain
you just gotta
to me
do it right.
why you are going by a different name this week?
Yes. So this is what's going on. We are not in the same room right now. We are not in Audio Boom Studios NYC. Kathleen is in Hoboken Studio NYC, and I am currently in Wisconsin Studio NYC, recording this from my mother's guest room. I am in Minneapolis because I am filling in for Fallon on the old morning show that I did before I moved to New York. It's a morning show called Dave Ryan in the Morning Show, and it's on KDWB in Minneapolis. When their current co-host Fallon became pregnant, they reached out and said, hey, she's obviously going to go on maternity leave. We want someone to fill in for the 3 months that she's away. We would love to have you back. And I...
Holy smokes, you're going to be doing that for 3 months?
Yes. So so luckily, because of technology, I won't have to, you know, be in Minneapolis every day because I obviously have things in New York I have to do and be there for. But I'm in town right now and I kind of think I'm going to try to bounce back and forth. And
that is so 21st century of you. I'm like bi-coastal.
I'm East Coastal and mid-coastal. So I'm like one and a half coastal. but yeah, so it's really fun. And I was really flattered to be asked back. And I had my first show this morning. I haven't been with him for 8 years. So it was really, I was so nervous. Like flying out yesterday, I had stomach aches on the plane. I was super nauseated, which I get when I'm anxious. I was like journaling and I just decided, you know, everything was going to hell and everyone would hate me. And it just went so well. Dave, the host, was so wonderful. When I came in, he just said, you know what? This is your home. Just do the show like you used to do the show. You're not a guest. You're here as, you know, a part of the family and have fun and do what you would do. It was really wonderful. It's I'm having such a good time. And people can listen. If they just go to DaveRyanShow.com, there's a listen live link at the top of the page.
Can you explain it to me? Why do you go by the name Lena?
So when I first was auditioning for the job at KDWB, I was working at a bank, and everybody who worked with me on this floor of the bank listened to the Dave Ryan in the Morning Show. We all listened to it together. It was like this big corporate office. We weren't front facing. We were just like an internal corporate office. So we all listened to the Morning Show. So when I was auditioning for the Morning Show, I had to audition during the Morning Show. It was a live audition.
Oh, shit.
So everyone would have heard me and would have known that I was trying to leave my job. Dave was kind enough to give me a fake name. And he gave me the name Lena Svensson because I'm so Nordic that it was a joke name because he frankly didn't think I would get the job because I had no radio experience. I ended up auditioning 4 times and I had to keep missing work to do those auditions. And so by the time I ended up getting the job, I had done so many auditions with the name Lena that it just stuck. And so we kept it.
It stuck.
Yeah.
It's like your pen name. It's like a radio pen name.
Yeah, it's my nom de plume, but it's like my nom de radio.
I want a pen name. Can I go by the name Kitty Sex Kitten?
You are such a kitty.
Salad Master Chef.
I like Kitty. What was it? Kitty Sex Kitten?
Ariana Huffington. Is that one taken?
That one's been taken.
Can I tell you about the coolest thing that everybody needs to get on Amazon?
Yes, please, because I'm not spending enough money on Amazon. What's the new thing? Wait, can I guess?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Is it some type of... Is it wearable tech?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, uh-huh. Is it...
You're going to say vibrator. It's not a vibrator. I'm going to tell you. You're never going to guess.
Okay.
It's a ghost detecting stone that turns red if a ghost is nearby.
Wait, shut up. Wait.
I'm telling you, Bethany, I got this from bustle.com, my number one source of news these days.
Right.
If you're looking into being a paranormal investigator, you know, maybe some
I am
sometime in the near future, here's a tool that you need for your toolbox. Baketan Risky Stone. So that's Baketan Risky, Reiseki. It's $28 on Amazon. And so it's kind of like on a keychain, and you hold it, and it claims that it will search for unusual paranormal activity and inform you about what's going on based on the color-coded light system within the stone.
So this sounds like a total scam, and also I want it.
It's not a total scam. So it's green when there's nothing around, turns blue if there's an angel present, and then turns red if there's a ghost in the area.
Okay, does it say how it knows? I can't find the page.
So there's a couple of different modes that this ghost stone functions in, this paranormal activity stone. Search mode, so it looks for a ghost. Then also automatic search mode, which scans the environment every 10 minutes. So it's not... Okay. You're not actively looking for a ghost, but it's still on alert. And then also...
It's just open to finding one.
Yeah. And then also its barrier mode will protect you from the spirits.
Is this like $50?
It's $28. It's not totally clear on how exactly it works, but I think we just need to put our trust into this unknown product.
I love this stone.
Yeah.
I want to get it. I was afraid you were going to say that it was something Alexa-based, because I know that your husband... Didn't your husband just get Alexa in your car or something?
Oh, yes. So a couple episodes ago, I was like, I wish I had in my car. Turns out Amazon was listening to our podcast because...
Of course it was.
Since my husband and I were one of the first owners of, you know, like the tower in our living room, they sent us an email, an exclusive invitation to test the beta for your car. So I have it in my car and I can be like, navigate to, she just starts talking.
Kathleen, stop!
Stop shaking your head. Stop shaking your head.
Your Amazon Echo, she wants to kill you. This is where this is going. She is going to override your car and drive you into a lake.
The Amazon angels heard my prayers and they were like, we must create this for Kathleen.
I think something heard your prayer because it was listening, but it weren't angels.
Is that your mom?
Yeah, my mom just brought me. I love her so much. This is the nice thing about Wisconsin Studio NYC.
Oh, your mom just brought you. Did you text your mom to bring you a glass of water?
She just brought me an afternoon.
Is that a cocktail?
It's just gin.
It's just straight gin and ice? Your mom just interrupted this podcast to bring you just straight gin and ice?
Well, I was drinking. So I landed. Sorry, I do not mean to derail this. I landed last night, got to my mom's house. I was wrecked, exhausted, tired, and I had to write a rap for this morning, and I had like 2 hours to sleep.
Oh.
And I was like, Mom, I just need gin. And so my mom was like plying me with gin so I could be creative enough and open-minded and happy enough to write a rap and get everything done. So
you know what, Bethany, not many people can say that that's on their to-do list, so kudos to you. By the way, right before we started recording this podcast, you were like, let's FaceTime, and I was like, uh-oh, I thought we were only going to talk to each other on the phone. And so I had to run to the bathroom to put on makeup. Bethany, see my lips?
They look fantastic.
It's the same color I wore on my wedding day because it was the only lipstick that I had within reach within like 30 seconds. I haven't put on lipstick in such a long time. it feels kind of good, man. I miss this.
I like that feeling of being pulled together that lipstick provides for me.
I like rubbed some into my finger and then tapped my cheekbones, you know, for a little bit of blush effect. But it's a good thing that you can only see me and not smell me because...
Do you smell awful?
Showering is not high on my priority list now that I work from home.
You know what? Showering isn't part of your narrative, and that's okay. My skin is so, so dry. You know when your skin gets dry to the point where you feel like an old person because you can feel your eyes crackling. My mouth feels raw. I just feel so dehydrated, and no amount of water I can drink is helping at all.
Is that the air in Wisconsin?
I think it's from flying and not getting enough sleep. I think those two things together just sort of deplete your body of any amount of nutrients or water.
I know that feeling. You know those costume eggs in the party store, and they're all like crackly and they have like shit peeling off of them to make them look really old, like a...
Yes.
Like a demon baby is about to pop out of them.
That's my face right now.
Uh-huh. Can you talk to me about this malarkey that I saw on your Instagram story over the weekend, you and Dennis at Party City?
Oh my gosh, we went to Party City. So we were walking from one mystical bookshop to another mystical bookshop, and in between was a Party City. And we went in, they have all their Halloween stuff out because obviously they do. I am a fall person. I know, Kathleen, you are a fall person. And Dennis is a fall person. And so this is really... when we come alive.
Yeah.
He and I together made it through the hardest part of our relationship, which was the summer. I told him, I am an awful person in the summer. If you can make it through the summer with me, that's the worst you'll ever see me. And you'll be rewarded in the fall.
Uh-huh.
So we, with joy, hands held, walked into Party City, and we started trying on all of the different masks. And the best part is, do you know what a plague doctor mask is?
No. What?
You've seen them before. Plague doctor masks are, they look like bird masks. Sometimes they're leather, sometimes they're metal.
Oh, with the pointy nose.
Yeah, it looks like a bird. Yeah, like a bird pointy nose. Doctors apparently used to wear them during the plague to protect themselves from germs, but they would put like flowers and sweet perfume in the nose section.
Gotcha.
To keep them from having to smell the awful smells. So Dennis had a plague doctor mask in his hand, and it was wearing, you know, big goggles. Dennis was wearing his sunglasses, which are also prescription, so they're kind of bigger.
Aww.
And he turned to the side, and he will admit himself, he has a sizable nose.
Aww.
And when he turned to the side, he and the plague doctor mask had the exact same profile.
Oh, shit.
And it was it was so sweet. He was so upset.
Watching, oh, poor Dennis.
We'll post it. We'll post it. I have the video.
Your boyfriend was texting me yesterday. Are you jealous?
About what?
I don't know. We were just talking about Majul dates, you know, casual vegan things.
Wait, like I didn't know you guys were talking. What the hell?
Yes.
When did this start happening?
We talk about stuff. We're talking about how leopard is a neutral. He's from Staten Island. I'm from New Jersey. We have sort of like the same baseline fashion sense. But watching your Insta stories over the weekend, you guys reminded me of, you know, that scene from 500 Days of Summer.
With Drew Barrymore?
No, with Zoe Deschanel and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And there's this whole scene in the movie where they're on a date in IKEA. And I was like, that is Bethany and Dennis in Party City right now. So
I love a store date.
Creative dates that don't include like drinking or spending a lot of money. Just go to the costume store and try ridiculous shit on and take pictures of each other.
It's so much fun. A store date is so much fun, especially like if you're in a new relationship, because there is no end of stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
You can find things to talk about. You can play. You can make fun of each other. You can be like, is this a thing that you would ever buy? I would buy this. Oh, my gosh. And if you go to Target, I mean, my gosh, I used to go on dates to Target. They have food. They have drinks. They have awesome stuff and places to sit.
I never thought about that for Target. You know, it's actually a really good challenge when you're at the party store or at Target or whatever. You only have $10 to spend to bring home the weirdest sex toy. And not even a toy that's made for sex, just an item that you can incorporate into some sort of sexual routine or sexual performance.
That is very fun. I enjoy that idea a lot.
Do you think I can make it a viral challenge, huh? Huh?
Yes,
I make
I
it
do.
Happen. I'm not even talking about boas. I'm talking about a cheese grater. You work that cheese grater into your sexual routine. Stay away from soft tissue. But other than that, The world
it's
is your oyster.
It's all soft tissue. We're all soft tissue. So we are, as I said earlier, we are recording from two different places. So the audio might be a little wonky today. It might not be an aurally perfect episode. Please be patient with us. It's going to be fun. We promise you that.
I have no patience, Bethany. What are you asking of me?
Too much. I know, too much. But we can make it through this together.
All right, let's hold hands. Bethany, I did something very out of character yesterday.
Okay, what's that?
I went to the gym. And then I was like, okay, this sucks. I used the treadmill for a little bit and I came home and I opened up my OpenFit app because I like working out at home in the privacy of being alone so much better.
I agree with you. OpenFit is this super simple streaming service that takes all of the complexity out of losing weight and getting fit. It lets you work out from the comfort of your living room in as little as 10 minutes a day. So you don't have people at the gym looking at you. You don't feel insecure and you can wear whatever you want when you work out.
Yeah, it's a website. It's an app. It's probably on your smart TV in some capacity. OpenFit is what works for me because I just like lifting my weights at home when nobody can see me. And you know what, Bethany? Fall is coming. And with the changing of the leaves comes the changing of you.
It's true.
Look.
It's not just one workout. You can work out with so many different programs. You can have amazing trainers like Andrea Rogers, founder of the worldwide sensation Extend Bar, or the newest workout, Rough Around the Edges, with six of the most badass stunt women in the business. They also have yoga. They also have Tough Mudder training. If there's something you're into, you can probably find it on OpenFit.
I have the most problems with sticking to an ab routine, you know, like sit-ups and, you know, sort of core work.
Totally.
OpenFit is one of my favorite places to like go and get a really, really sick ab workout, you know, when like you can't even stand up straight. You've like worked your abs so hard after. Oh, it feels so good.
It's the best feeling. And you can get it in so many places. View it on your computer, web-enabled TV, tablet, smartphone, even your Roku.
OpenFit has changed the way that I work out. And so I'm hoping that's going to work for all of our taste buds. That's why we're sharing our code today.
Text our code TASTE to 303030. And you can join us on a fitness journey that's personalized just for you. And plus, during the OpenFit 30-day challenge, you will get a special extended 30-day free trial membership to OpenFit when you text TASTE, TASTE, to the numbers 303030.
Get full access to OpenFit's, all the workouts and the nutrition information totally free. Again, all you have to do is text TASTE, TASTE, to the numbers 303030.
Standard message and data rates may apply. So, Kathleen, you sent me this article last week, and because I'm in Minneapolis right now filling in for Fallon, who just had her first child, it was sort of really interesting timing. It's from Oprah's Super Soul Sunday, and which I don't really actually follow very much, but I know a lot of people really
Bethany.
Like it. I know,
Queen
I know.
O. I hope she didn't hear you say that.
I listen to so many paranormal and true crime podcasts that I don't have time for my soul. Well, I do. It's just my soul is like, you know, dark and stormy.
Yes.
But I really liked it. So it was with Elizabeth Gilbert, who wrote Eat, Pray, Love and just like a bunch of other stuff. But she was talking about how she doesn't want children. And she said that people very often make the assumption that you hate children.
Yeah.
If you don't want children, especially if you're a woman who doesn't want children.
So I think this is really interesting, and probably because I'm a rude biatch. But there's a few things that I've always wanted to ask you because you have similar feelings to Elizabeth Gilbert on this topic, right?
Yeah, totally. So
I mean, you've said on this podcast, I like children.
Yes.
I don't want any of my own.
I didn't know you would question. So let's do that. So one thing she said that I think is really important, and then I'm curious what your questions are.
Yeah.
But she said, I'm not made for that. I have a really good mom. I know what she put into it. I didn't think I had the support to have that and continue on this path that was really important to me, which is the way that I feel as well. Like, my mother is the most incredible mother ever.
Yeah.
And that's what I have to live up to. Like, I know what time she puts in and how much care and how much she loves being a mom. And that's not how I feel about it. She also said that there are three kinds of women. There are women who should be moms.
Uh-huh.
There are women who should be aunties. And there are women who should not be allowed within 10 miles of children.
I've met all three types of those women. I agree.
Yes, I have too. And she said that things can get really, really dangerous for everyone involved and really bad when you don't know which type of person you are.
Huh.
She said it's very important you figure out which one of those camps you belong in, because tragedy and sorrow results from ending up in the wrong category.
Oof, yeah, surely it does.
So like, Kathleen, you're in the mom category. You want to be a mother.
I do, yeah.
I am in the auntie category. I don't want to be a mother.
But you love being Aunt Bibi.
I love being Aunt Bibi. I love my nieces. And I think it's really important that we discuss it, because I've been accused of all sorts of things just because people don't understand why I don't want to have children.
So I am bringing this up with you, aka / forcing you to talk about this, because I was having a conversation with a friend last week, and I was making a joke, but sort of also not so joking, that now that I'm working for myself and now I'm working from home, I'm doing my year of study abroad that I never got to do in college. I have a lot of travel plans coming up. And instead of being like, oh my God, that's so great, like you're going to visit all these amazing places, she said to me, but so you're going to push kids back another year?
Okay.
And I thought, oh my God, like, A, that's none of anybody's business. This is my best friend. So she's the only person that will get away with it. But B, I was like, is this what women feel like who don't have kids and who don't want kids? Are they just perpetually bombarded with this type of judgment?
Yes. yes, we are. Yeah, I think it. I'm trying to imagine what it feels like to want children.
Yeah.
And I think it's like how much I love animals. I cannot imagine a life without having animals living in my house. And so if someone was like, I don't want animals, I would have a hard time understanding it. But I also don't think I would ever say, once you move into the right apartment, once you find the right boyfriend, once you find the right girlfriend, you're going to want that dog.
Then you want a cat.
Like, right? Like, but I can't understand. I don't have that pull. I have maternal instinct.
Yeah.
I definitely have maternal instinct. But I don't have any sort of draw in me that's saying you got to have a child. And so I don't know what that feeling is.
When do you think you first started to come to this realization? Like, how old were you? What stage in your life were you at?
I think I came to it really slowly.
Yeah.
I remember even in high school, I would think about what I wanted to name my kids. And I wanted to have two daughters, and I would always think of what their cool names would be. And I always pictured them at the age I was. So I'd be like, and I'll have these cool girls, and they're going to be like 17, and they're going to be hanging out, and they're going to be awesome, and life is going to be fun. But the older I got, the more I lived my life not having children, and the more I realized that my life was really full and I had so much I wanted to do. And the more things that I planned, I was realizing that I really didn't have any time ahead or any pull to have a child running around, have a baby, have the stuff in my apartment that was going to be for the baby, have, you know, pack and plays and
kids come with so much stuff.
And
so much stuff. And I know your boyfriend is a minimalist, so can you just imagine?
Oh, he would lose his mind. Just so many things that come with it. And then seeing, as my friends, and I think a lot of people, as they get out of college and start to really grow up, they see their friends start to have children. And seeing what that entailed for my friends, it wasn't the glamorous, all rosy-cheeked, wonderful family story that I had in my head. Yeah. And I just kept seeing how many other things I wanted to keep doing, and it just didn't feel like a priority.
And the more time it wasn't on the list. End of story, right?
Yeah. It wasn't on the list. And the longer you spend without having children, the more, at least for me, I realized like there are so many fun things I can do not having them. And then meeting a partner who didn't want them either, that just sort of sealed the deal. But I sort of ask you in return, like, what does it feel like to want children? Because I can't imagine it. I don't know what that is.
You know, I didn't grow up with this instinct of really wanting children. You know, some people are just born knowing that they were made for parenthood.
Yeah.
And that was not me, but I even got married. My husband and I got married knowing that we were sort of in this gray area in terms of whether we wanted to have a child or not. And And it's complicated. I remember I've been married for maybe about 2 years. And I woke up one day and I was like, yeah, I think that life is for me. I think I want a baby one day.
Mm.
But I'm not 100% sure if my husband's all the way there.
I didn't know that.
Because we have a pretty – we look at each other all the time and we say, wow, like this is a pretty amazing life that we live. We get to travel wherever we want. We don't have to worry about having other mouths to feed other than our cat mouths that we have in this house. we still go back and forth on it. I do have the want. I do have the yearning and that instinct that I would like to have a child. But, you know, I used to think that I really wanted to. But the more that I think about it now in terms of money and living space and the amount of things you need to have when you have children, I'm kind of leaning towards one.
Really?
Yeah. College is so expensive.
It's really expensive.
A little part of me hopes that I have twins the first time around, the decision is made for me.
I was just talking to someone about that. I feel like twins are the way to go, man. Like they always have a friend, they always have an ally, they always have someone to like have their back if someone's bullying them. They always have a friend if it's an awkward party and they don't know anyone. Like it's just, and then you get it all done.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Yes, you're exhausted for about 15 years, but then it's done.
You know, I have this other friend. She has had the instinct to be a mother since she was a little girl.
Yeah.
And even in our yearbook, our high school yearbook, I wrote, when you have kids, I'll come over to babysit. Because
wow.
It was just this unsaid thing that she was going to be a mother. It was mm-hmm. her destiny to be a mother. And I was having a conversation with her. And so I graduated from high school 13 years ago or something like that. She already has 2 kids.
Wow.
And she was beating herself up because she wasn't sure if she wanted a third. And in her mind, her picture was always a third.
Oh, that's really dangerous. You can't stick by what you had in your head as a teenager. When you're in high school, that's – dude, when I was in high school, I wanted to get a lower back tattoo of a fairy wrapped up in a Celtic knot. And I wanted to change my name to Guinevere Pendragon.
No.
So, like, you aren't who you are in high school.
It's just so interesting how big of a deal society makes motherhood. Because, yes, it's a big deal once you have kids. You should raise them properly and make them,
yes.
you know, form them to be decent, loving, kind human beings. But
yes, it is a very big deal.
Why all this pressure on women who don't want to have kids or who only want to have 1 kid? You know, it's just, mm-hmm. I said to my friend who was bummed about not really wanting a 3rd kid, I said, you are your 3rd kid. Spend the time that you would have on a 3rd baby on self-care.
Yeah.
On treating yourself right, and your life is going to feel more whole.
And there, you know, it's not just women. There are guys too. I knew a dude in college who could not wait to meet someone so he could get her pregnant and have children. He
really?
Wanted children so bad. And I think guys get it too, but in the reverse, where if a guy really wants kids, people are like, that's really like, maybe, you know, maybe when they're older, but if there is someone who knows right away, if they know in high school or college they really want kids, I feel like they're kind of looked at sideways because it's like, why aren't you out whoring it up? Like,
yeah,
why do you want kids? That's really weird. Like, it's very strange. And so I don't know. I think that it's just good to keep having this conversation. I'm really glad that Elizabeth Gilbert brought it up. I initially always feel like I don't want to talk about it because it's no one's business. And I get really sick of being forced into the conversation by strangers often. Yeah. But I think she is right in that the more we talk about it, the more people understand that not every single person is supposed to have a child. And the way that I always say it is, if someone came up to you and said, look, I'm thinking of going to college. I don't know if I want to be a doctor, but I'm going to go to medical school anyway.
Oh,
you would say to
God.
Them, don't go to medical school if you don't know you want it.
Yeah.
Why are you telling me to bring a child into the world if I am not sure I want it? That is way more like of a commitment than maybe being a doctor.
Yeah. I mean, don't waste your resources if that's
it's not
what you
safe.
Want.
It's not safe. It's a baby.
The people I know, and it's really sad. It's it, It's more than I can count on one hand. The people I know who have fixed relationships with children.
Quote unquote fixed.
You know,
it doesn't work.
Having a baby is that Band-Aid that they throw over.
It doesn't work.
It's not good.
It doesn't work.
It never works out in the end. It really doesn't.
Don't do it. Fix the relationship with communication, not with the baby. That's not fair to a baby. That baby's a baby. It can't even pay rent. How do you think that baby can fix your relationship if you can't fix your relationship? And that baby doesn't even speak English yet.
No, it doesn't.
How's that baby supposed to help you? You help you.
How?
Let your therapist help you.
How sick of this question, when are you going to have kids, do you think Jennifer Aniston is?
Oh, my gosh. I bet she wants to throw herself off a cliff.
Do you think her publicist, every time an interview brings it up, says, this interview is over.
This is done. She does not have to sit through this again. She has been painted as just this sad woman who just, she's fine. She has a great life. She is fine.
Yeah.
Let's leave her alone. Let's focus on what's really important, which is the fact that fall is coming and we're all very excited.
So Bethany, are you trying to tell me that you don't live a sad existence and your heart doesn't really know love and there's no colors in your life because you don't have children?
Oh no, that's fully accurate.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know. Listen, if you're listening to this and you're still thinking about having kids, cool.
That's great.
You've already decided that you don't want kids. Cool.
Yeah, I feel like you know it or you don't. And if you're not sure, I would hold off until you're sure, because that's a big commitment to jump into. And that kid didn't ask for that.
No, of course not.
Don't let someone pressure you into it. It's okay. You're doing what's right for you.
Can you just very quickly go over the three types of women Elizabeth Gilbert says in her article again?
Women who are born to be mothers.
Uh-huh.
Women who are born to be aunties. And women who should not be allowed within 10 feet of a child.
Love that.
I love it too. Thank you for sending me that article, Kathleen.
Listen, if you're the third one, you may not know that it's you, but I hope your friends will tell you.
Yeah. Kathleen.
Yes.
I don't know if you know this about me. I'm not good at cooking.
Oh, shocker, Bethany. I had no idea.
I do, however, have a desire to cook, because guess what? I'm a big fan of the Eaton.
Yeah.
And that is why I love HelloFresh.
HelloFresh is America's numero uno. That's number one, in case you didn't know. Meal kit.
Thank you.
Get easy, seasonal recipes with pre-measured ingredients delivered right to your door. So in case you're a terrible, horrible, rotten cook like Bethany, okay, all you have to do is read the instructions and then do it.
Or if you're a self-righteous, amazing cook like Kathleen, you can learn all of these new recipes. So HelloFresh makes cooking delicious meals at home a reality, regardless of whether you're a Kathleen or a Bethany. They give you step-by-step recipes, pre-measured ingredients. You have everything you need. And then you don't have to worry about going to the grocery store, getting, you know, the wrong quantity or having leftovers that go bad. And then you forget the one thing you needed. Then you have to go back. That's stupid. You don't have time for that. You're too important.
The other day I made from HelloFresh, oh my God, my mouth is watering just thinking about it, Mexican street tacos.
Oh, I love Mexican street tacos.
It's like, it's got that corn, you know, that charred corn with the,
there's like some,
with the
a little like
fresh
cheese. Yeah, there's like some kind of cheese situation all up in it.
Oh my God, it was so good. All the ingredients arrived at my door because I need flexibility in my life. You know, I'm so busy. I'm hanging out with the royals. I'm hanging out with the Kardashians.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just need to run home and make a quick meal. And that is why HelloFresh works.
You are the busiest, fanciest lady I sure know. And these meals aren't just flexible and simple. They are also delicious. There's something for everyone. They have family recipes, calorie smart, vegetarian, and fun menu series like Hall of Fame and Kraft Burgers. Plus, they have more five-star recipes than any other meal kit, so you know you'll get something delicious.
So join the HelloFresh Club like Bethany and I and get $80 off of your first month of HelloFresh. All you have to do is go to HelloFresh.com/taste80, that's T-A-S-T-E and the number 80, and enter T-A-S-T-E-80 at checkout too.
So again, for $80 off your first month of HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com/taste80 and enter the code TASTE80.
Don't go hungry tonight, eat HelloFresh.
Kathleen, what do I always say is the most important part of life?
Furniture.
Exactly. Yeah. So that is why we love Joybird. Whether you're throwing a backyard barbecue or an ice cream social, or you're heading into fall, you need to get some like awesome stuff for your holiday parties. Joybird has everything you want.
Let me tell you, now that I'm spending more time at home since I work from home, I've updated my apartment with a few items and it feels like a new apartment.
I bet.
So if your living space isn't serving you right now, you have to check out Joybird, because I'm a mid-century modern girl and they have the coolest stuff.
Yeah, with Joybird, you get one-of-a-kind furniture that's crafted to your unique taste. So hundreds of styles and options. If you want a mid-century modern sofa, but you want it in aquatic blue, they can do that. If you want a love seat in bright red or coral or bubblegum pink, they can do that.
I just went to joybird.com and their homepage has the most gorgeous emerald green tufted couch.
Oh.
Oh my, Bethany, I'm feeling it in my loins. It's so beautiful.
And they have rich, buttery leather. They have the plushest velvet you've ever felt. You can find the fabric and texture that's right for you. And they have kid and pet-friendly upholstery options too. So if you have kids and pets running around, you can still have nice things.
And more important than kids and pets, Joybird has the type of quality handcrafted furniture that is going to make your house look really good on Instagram. Like the best. Like your friends are going to be so jelly.
And that is the most important thing besides furniture. So see how Joybird can help you design your dream space. Make furniture your own at joybird.com/taste.
Create furniture that brings joy today at joybird.com/taste. All you have to do is go to joybird.com/taste. To receive an exclusive 25% off of your first order using the code TASTE, that's T-A-S-T-E.
So one more time, go to joybird.com/taste and use the code TASTE to get 25% off your first order at Joybird.
I love ordering my furniture online. Just comes to my house. Don't even have to go to the store.
I like saying order at Joybird. Order at Joybird. It's a gorgeous orange. Order at Joybird.
So, God bless Reddit.
I mean, it's a good place to fall down some nice wormholes.
So many wormholes. That's why I discovered Shower Orange, the page dedicated to the consumption of a variety of different citrus fruits while taking a shower.
So, okay, Kathleen. Yeah. No. Hold on. You're not getting out of this. How in the hell did you discover this subreddit, r Shower Orange?
Bethany, I don't even want to tell you. It involves
you have to tell me. You have to.
And chains and delicious
be
recipes
honest.
To make
no,
on
be
Thanksgiving.
Honest.
No, I
be
don't.
Honest.
Reddit decided for me. It popped up on my homepage.
Okay, fair. I believe that.
So apparently, the most amazing orgasmic thing you can do is crack open a gorgeous orange.
A gorgeous orange.
While you're taking a shower. Apparently, the experience is like no other.
And I have never heard of this before.
The page isn't long. There aren't that many people following the page. There's like only a handful of posts. But someone took it one step further and someone ate orange chicken in the shower.
That sounds really good. Okay, you, Kathleen.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That came across very accusatory the way I started that sentence. You seem, I'm going to say how I see you feeling, and then you tell me if what I'm saying reflects your actual feelings.
Okay.
You seem reticent to try eating or drinking anything in the shower.
It grosses me out. I mean, I can see drink, like, so you know how people shower beers? That's like a pretty common thing, right?
Totally.
But it's mostly a closed container.
Yes.
So
yes, I suppose.
Soap, I'm very worried about soap contamination because maybe I'm careless. Maybe I'm just don't pay attention to detail. But even sometimes when I'm like eating a snack, sometimes I'll start tasting soap. And then I realize last time I washed my hands, I didn't wash all the soap off.
Okay.
So that is why I'm skeptical about eating anything in the shower.
So you have some prior soap flavor issues that
get
triggered.
I do.
Okay, that makes sense.
So I went to Spoon University because I was like, do people eat in the shower? Is this like a thing that people do? Do people eat in the shower?
Yeah.
Turns out, yes. SpoonUniversity.com, one of the leading websites for hard-hitting news on the internet.
You love your hard-hitting news, yeah.
They suggest smoothies and iced coffee.
Smoothies and
might seem odd, but there's a lid and there's a straw. So
okay.
Really good for the shower. Ice pops. They said apparently it's really amazing when you have hot, warm water hitting your back, but you're eating an ice pop. Like it makes everything tingle.
That might be a good one for you, actually, Kathleen, because an ice pop can easily be rinsed off in the water.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
So if you feel like you're getting something weird on it, then you just rinse it off.
Apples. Apples are perfect for people who love to take morning showers. Apparently, it's a thing where apples wake people up. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
And then you don't have to pre-rinse your apple before you bring it into the shower because you just rinse it off in the stream, right?
Yeah, totally. These are some good ones. Keep going. I like this.
Gummies. Gummy bears and stuff. Fruit snacks. Because they don't deteriorate when water hits them.
They do. They get slimy. They get slimy and gross. I feel like that would be an awful one to eat in the shower.
Campbell's soup on the go. You know, okay. The Campbell's soup that comes in those microwavable containers?
Yes, I ate those all through college.
Go-gurt.
Go-gurt is a good one. Comes in a tube.
Comes in a tube. And oranges. So this list has oranges again. And it says, have you heard about this whole new craze of eating oranges in the shower?
What the hell is going on?
The benefits of eating this once messy citrus in the shower includes that the mess is gone because you're in the shower. You just rinse off right away. And there's a whole group of shower orange eaters out there that that you could join if this is your thing.
I had never heard of this, but I like knowing that there's – see, this is why the internet is good. Yeah. It lets people find their tribe. And there's a whole group of shower orange eaters out there.
What is the weirdest thing that you do in your shower, you think?
Besides just like sit.
Yeah. You sit in the shower?
Yeah.
Like with the water on?
Yes. If I am feeling really down, if I'm having a hard time, if I need a good cry, I will definitely sit in the bottom of the shower and just let the water run over me and either cry or not cry, you know, depending on where I'm at. And just sometimes it's too hard to stand up. Sometimes you just want to sit. It's like a vacation shower.
I have a tough time crying in the shower because it feels ridiculous to me. I'll start crying because something is bothering me. And then I'm like also trying to like shave my legs and my pitters and wash my hair and whatever.
Yeah.
And it feels like I'm in a movie and I feel like maybe somebody's watching me. And then I'm like, my body stops crying.
Yeah, it is very melodramatic. So that might pull you out of it. I sort of lean into the melodrama, but I totally understand what you're saying.
I do my laundry in the shower while I'm showering.
Like you wear it?
I have like a special garbage can where I fill it with water and then I put in my dirty laundry and then I put some like detergent in there. And while I'm showering, every now and then I'll like step inside the garbage can and do a stomp, stomp, stomp like I'm making wine in old school Italy, stomping on the grapes.
That is such a good idea.
Right? Because I don't have a washer dryer.
Yes.
And so sometimes you just like, you have to do it the old school way with your feet.
I have never heard of that. That is such a freaking good idea. I'm going to start doing that.
Or you can fill up your bathtub and put all of your dirty laundry in it that way and fill it with water and stomp, stomp, stomp like you're making grapes in old school Italy.
I have done that before, but that requires you to have a clean shower, which I don't want to do that. That's too much work.
So that's another thing I do. I clean the shower while I'm in the shower.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I just have like black mold on my shower curtain. And so I just, you know, I'd have to clean that. That's too much work.
I do too. It's always such a hassle. I hate cleaning my tub. The one thing that really bugs me out though is, I don't know how people do this. How do they brush their teeth when they're in the shower?
Oh, I do that.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
Do you keep your toothbrush in the shower? That's disgusting.
No, I take it out of the medicine cabinet. I put toothpaste on it. I rest it on the sink, which is near the shower. Get into the shower, do my thing, and then I reach down for it and I brush my teeth.
That's gross.
What's gross about it?
Oh, that's just, it's not right, Bethany. There are certain steps to getting yourself clean. Is number one, showering. Number two, brush your teeth. And you can't do them at the same time. You cannot do them at the same time. No, you can't.
Why the hell not? I feel like it's probably cleaner. If you're doing it by your sink, there are particles from, you know, things you did near the sink that are floating all over the place. It's cleaner in the shower.
I just don't think it's right. And I think that one day a bolt of lightning is going to come down and strike you while you're doing it.
Well, my teeth will be clean. So
I was reading this article on apartmenttherapy.com and they said that something else that people do that's weird in the shower, they take a nap. It's called a shower nap. Have you ever heard of this?
I have, actually.
Are you kidding? Have you taken a nap in the shower while the water is running?
No, I have not, but I have heard of it. I listened to this podcast where one of the hosts actually admitted to taking a shower nap. Like, it's not long. It's like a minute where he will sit down, lean back, and just rest his eyes for about a minute and then get back up and go out.
So
how do they describe a shower nap?
Urban Dictionary says that it's the act of lying on the floor of a shower with the lights off, drifting into sleep, and often you place a towel over yourself as a blanket so it can get wet, but it still serves as a blanket.
This is such a waste of water. How long do they say how long you sleep for?
It doesn't. It doesn't say how long.
This
that is the weirdest. That is the craziest thing. You could drown. You could drown by accident.
Well, and it's also like the height of being privileged, where it's like, I have so much water. Like, as a country, we assume we have all the water in the world. We're like, I'm just going to nap here.
Oh, but it seems cold, because even if the water is hot, if your body isn't fully submerged, there are like air streams that are hitting like the underside of your body that are getting cold.
For sure.
Right. And then
for sure.
Do you pee in the shower? I have to ask you. I know it's sort of a personal question, but. And if you say that you don't, you're lying.
I am a classy lady who is not going to answer that question.
Stop it. That means you do. Of course I pee in the shower. Of course. It's like that sound. It's even if I've peed right before I get in the shower, it's just the sound of the water. The second I get in, it's like, gotta go again. What am I going to do? Hop out of the shower and get the bathroom all wet and pee again in the toilet? No, thank you.
If Neil were, do you shower while like Neil's in the room, in the bathroom?
Yeah. And we have a see-through shower curtain, so there are no secrets.
So does he, would you do that? Would you pee in the shower with him in the room?
Once recently, actually, I said to him, get out of here. Get out of here. Because I couldn't control the stream.
Don't look at me.
The urge was coming. But I do have a friend. I have a guy friend who told me that he's never peed in the shower. And I think he is straight up lying to me.
He's lying to you.
He's lying.
There's no way.
There's no way. Once that warm water hits your body, you just can't control what happens with your own personal stream. You can't.
Sure. And like, if you are the owner of a penis, you're just, it's right there. You might as well. That's what it's there for usually. You know, what else do penises do? That's, I don't know. Just pee, right? That's it.
That's it.
I don't know. Yeah. Let's change the subject.
So I'm going to leave showering to what the good Lord above, the powers that be, whatever you believe in, intended it to be. You wash your hair, you wash your body, you wash your clothes, you pee, and you think of really creative ideas.
I am going to eat an orange in the shower.
Okay.
And I will report back on our next episode.
For the sake of this podcast, I too will eat an orange in the shower.
You'll do it for our art?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
You know what? Can I tell you a joke that I recently wrote in the shower?
Yes, please.
What do you call a monkey that loves Doritos?
What do you call a monkey that loves Doritos?
A chipmunk.
Okay. All right. That's very good. You do your best work in the shower.
I didn't write that. I didn't write that joke, but I should have, because I do love Doritos.
Where does the general keep his armies?
I don't know. Where?
Up his sleeveys. Nah, you don't have to laugh at that. That was very sweet of you, though.
It actually is funny. Hang on one more. Let me tell you one more. What concert costs 45 cents?
What?
50 Cent featuring Nickelback.
Should we stop it there?
Yeah, we'll stop there. That was actually pretty funny, right?
Kathleen, filling in on this morning show has sort of reminded me how important sleep is, in that I didn't really get any last night and I am feeling awful today. And Purple Mattresses completely understands that. You are going to get such an incredible night's sleep if you sleep on Purple, and you'll see what a difference good sleep makes.
Yeah. If you're one of these people where you spend your night turning and tossing, oh God, I have been there. You need to check out Purple Mattresses, because a night of fitful sleep versus how well rested you feel when you wake up after spending the night on a Purple mattress, you will never go back.
So Purple Mattress is different from other mattresses, and here's how. It uses this brand new material that was developed by an actual rocket scientist. It's not like the memory foam you're used to.
A rocket scientist? Oh my goodness!
I know! The Purple material feels really unique because it's both firm and soft at the same time. So it keeps your whole body supported, but it still feels really comfortable. And the best part for me is that it's breathable, so it sleeps cool, because I am not breathable and I sleep hot.
Yeah, but I like it when you look hot, girl.
Okay. And there's a 100-night risk-free trial. So if you're not fully satisfied, you can return your mattress for a full refund. You have a 10-year warranty, free shippings and returns, free in-home setup and old mattress removal. So you really don't have anything to lose.
That's the best part for me, when they take out the old mattress.
And it's heavy because there's so much old skin and like grossness in there. It's like, oh, I have a new mattress. It's clean. My body loves me.
Bethany, go with me for a second.
Okay.
Think about waking up from the deepest, most restorative sleep ever.
Oh, it's the best feeling.
Oh, God. It really is the best feeling. We've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're thinking about that right now, and you're thinking about waking up from a delicious night of restful sleep, and you haven't gotten a really good night's sleep in a long time, you have to check out Purple, because right now, our listeners will get a free Purple pillow with the purchase of a mattress.
That's in addition to the great free gifts they're offering site-wide. And here's how you're going to do it. Just text TASTE to 84888.
The only way to get this free pillow is to text TASTE, T-A-S-T-E, to 84888.
That's T-A-S-T-E to the numbers 84888. Message and data rates may apply.
Good night.
Good night. Okay, Kathleen. So In the spirit of the fact that my mom brought me gin, I have a section of notes in my phone for the podcast, like podcast ideas.
Yes.
And there is a subsection just called drunk questions. And the first question written in this section is, can drops be different sizes?
You mean like raindrops?
Like any drops. Like, if you have an eyedropper.
Yeah.
And you drop liquid out of it.
Yeah.
Each drop is one specific size, right?
Yes. It's not a uniform size, because we're not machines. So human force, we're going to use a different amount of squeeze force every time.
But every drop is one. That's what is allowed as one drop out of the eyedropper. Like, you can't force one drop to be bigger than another drop, because there's the eyedropper drops one drop at a time. It's the same. Like, if.
Yeah, I mean.
But if you're also dropping. Okay, so then you click. Stay with me. So then if you drip a Q-tip into a liquid and you load it up, and then the Q-tip one drop drops off of that. Is that drop a different size, or are all drops a uniform size by the nature of what a drop is? And that is the question I ask you.
Does the Q-tip drop only when it's at max capacity in terms of – so I don't know. I mean, Bethany, there are a lot of factors here that will go into this. If you use the same Q-tip over and over again, you've already reached max capacity with the first soak. No, so then you go to another Q-tip and you're going to soak that. But who's to say that there's, you know, there's the exact same amount of cotton on the second Q-tip?
But it drops. No,
too many varying factors, Bethany.
That's my question, is are there varying factors, or despite all varying factors, is every drop the same size?
Like, no, there are varying factors. Not every drop is the same size.
How do you know?
Because I know.
How do you
know? My dad is a scientist.
Okay, call your dad. We don't know. There's no way of knowing. If you were to take a massive eyedropper, let's say you built an eyedropper for a giant, and you pulled up water out of a lake, and you look so angry with me right now.
No, I'm not angry with you. You're not sober right now.
I've had one glass of gin.
You've had a glass of gin, but your mom's also making tuna hot plate later. And so that delicious dinner, which I'm very jealous that you're going to eat, and I'm not going to eat, is going to soak up all that alcohol.
So do you know what I'm saying? Like, if you have an oversized eyedropper filled with liquid, will the drop that comes from that eyedropper be bigger than the drop from a baby eyedropper? Or are all drops the same size by nature of, like, the surface area of what water can contain?
No, not all drops are the same size. And this idea of yours sounds a lot like that reoccurring dream I've been having since I was 5 years old, that my dad is the inventor of the largest fly swatter in the entire world, and the world's largest bee knocks on our door to challenge him to a duel.
Is this a nightmare, or is this an awesome dream?
It's a little bit of both, honestly. Okay.
All right. Well, I won't keep discussing because I can tell you're very frustrated. I think it's a valid question.
The problem is it has to do with surface area, Bethany. It has to do with the viscosity of the liquid. Like water weighs more, or water weighs less than molasses. There are lots of different types of liquids that you can drop from a dropper or drop from a Q-tip.
Oh, I didn't think about viscosity.
Right? And then also like the humidity in the air. Is this drop collecting liquid through the air as it travels to the surface that it's going to hit?
That is not an issue, as in I am requesting you to comment on simply the size of the drop that comes from the dropper initially, and not the size of it as it lands on the earth.
All right. I mean, not every raindrop. I mean, I know for a fact that not every raindrop is the same size, because you know.
How do you know?
You know.
How do you know?
When you're reading, you know when you're reading a good book and they want to describe a very heavy rain, they call the raindrops very fat.
Sure, but that doesn't necessarily. Okay,
yes,
but that
we've all been in the car or walking outside where all of a sudden it starts to rain, and it's not just a light drizzle; it's a fat raindrop. It's like the raindrop that forgot to work out for a year and lives solely on Big Macs. Those types of raindrops.
But that's more a commentary on the number of raindrops that are hitting rather than the actual size of each individual raindrop.
Nope.
So it might be 10 raindrops in the area that might be just like one raindrop during a light drizzle, but you're thinking it means it's a fat raindrop.
No.
When really it's just 10 more raindrops.
There is such a thing as a fat raindrop. There is. You know how snowflakes are not all the same size? You know how sometimes when you're outside and it's snowing, it looks really beautiful because the snowflakes are gigantic?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the same thing. It's the
no,
same
it's
concept.
No, it's not the same. There's no way of
water coming from a source.
But it's not. But snowflakes are different because they get flash frozen as they're heading through the atmosphere.
I think
that's
it
different.
Also has to do with the speed of the liquid being expelled from whether it's a faucet or a Q-tip or a dropper, because a faster speed will create a smaller raindrop. But if you go really slow, really slow, the raindrop, the water, it can stick to each other. It's about surface area, about the surface area of the actual drop and gathering more water, gathering more water, gathering more water.
Okay, that made sense.
It makes sense, right?
Okay, hold on. I just Googled it because that's what I should have done initially, but I do like kind of making you a little bit frustrated with me.
So, I feel like we're reliving an episode of Science Court right now.
So this is what Google says.
Okay.
Each particle surrounded by water mm-hmm. becomes a tiny droplet between 0.0001 and 0.005 centimeter in diameter.
Very large difference.
The particles range in size, therefore the droplets range in size. So it's because the particles are bigger that the droplets are bigger.
There you go.
But if it gets larger than 4 millimeters, it will split into two separate drops usually. So there is a...
I was right.
Okay, fine. You were right. You were right. I was just curious.
Bethany, what did you learn this week that doesn't have to do with raindrops, please?
Wow, you're so frustrated. You're so mad at me. I learned that if you are heading into sort of a stressful life event, maybe now is not the best time to change up your anxiety medication. And at the end of the day, you know what is best for you. My psychiatrist is like, hey, let's like play around with your Lexapro. And I said yes, because I thought maybe it was a good idea.
Oh,
but it's really not, because life is stressful. And when you switch up your meds, it obviously changes your brain chemistry.
Yeah.
You stick to what you know is right. And I should have said, let's hold off until next spring when there's a lot of sunlight. So take care of yourself and you just do what you know is right for you. And we're going to keep taking Lexapro for a while.
Did your doctor say, you look like you're doing a lot better, let's lessen your dose?
Yep.
Yeah.
And
your body was like, psych, not doing better.
Sometimes you're doing really well because everything is the way it should be. And sometimes just you don't need to change anything.
Ugh.
So that was a good lesson to learn. It was a good reminder. And
I
will be going back to what worked before.
You know your body better than anybody else.
Yep. Totally. What about you, Kathleen? What'd you learn this week?
Okay, there's this viral video going around. It was really bugging me. I thought it was totally fake. So the video is you break a mug or a plate that's ceramic.
Okay.
You heat up some milk and then you tape the broken object back together, but you tape it in a way so that the cracked area is like mostly exposed. Does that make sense? It's not
totally
all covered by tape.
Yeah.
And then in the warm milk, you've warmed up milk. You place this broken ceramic item and you wait like 48 hours and you come back to it and it's a whole piece again. I'm telling you, it's been popping up in my feed on Instagram and I'm like, what the holy hell? This is a straight up lie. And so I did some research into it and there are a whole slew of websites out there that say that there's a specific protein in milk that will bond ceramic items that are broken if you heat up the milk and then leave the broken ceramic item taped back up and then you take it out in 48 hours and it's fine.
Do you have to keep the milk heating at the same temperature the whole time?
No. It cools and then you just let it be.
Can you wash it?
Yeah, afterwards you can most certainly wash it. Listen, as you've learned from this podcast, I'm not a scientist. Bethany is most certainly not a scientist.
Okay, listen.
But there are scientists on the internet that's saying that this works. I don't know if it's been debunked. I haven't found any evidence online that it's been debunked. I think it's weird, but I also think it's cool.
I think that's amazing. And if it's actually true, I mean, I wish I would have known because I have a lot of awesome mugs that I loved, but man, my fingers are slippery. So
I know.
It's hard to say.
I mean, that time that Meghan Markle's nose chipped off of your royal teacup, it was really, wasn't a good look for her.
Dude, I was bummed. I was really, really bummed. Really quickly before we go, I know Kathleen, you probably feel the same way. I just want to thank our taste buds. We have some amazing listeners and I know we say this every week, but I'm so grateful for you. Emily and Alyssa and
Lupita,
Michelle, Diane. There's so many of you. I don't know.
I love our taste bud community and I love how we all support each other. And it's just, yeah. It's nice to recognize the people who sometimes go above and beyond for you when they don't have to. So,
yeah. Yeah. So we really love you. And thank you guys for everything and the way you support each other as well. So Kathleen.
Yes.
Speaking of, where can people find you on social media?
I am at Webgirl Kathleen on everything.
I am Radio Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. If you want to follow the show, you can do so. We are Acquired Podcast on Twitter.
We are at Acquired Taste Podcast on Instagram.
You can find us on Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. You can also just search Acquired Taste Podcast fan group. That is where you meet all of these incredible people. And we have some pretty amazing people who moderate that as well. And that all happens without us. We kind of leave that all to you. And we're so in awe of everyone.
If you want to send us an email, you can do so at anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
You can also send us snail mail. Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
Every week at the end of the podcast, we play voicemails from all of our amazing taste buds. If you want to leave us a voicemail, you can do so at 917-994-0353. We have our own hotline. How cool is that?
I know, it's a hotline. And you guys, you are some of the funniest, most wonderful, fantastic people. So
call us up and talk dirty to us.
We want to hear everything. thank you so much for putting up with this week. I know that it might be a little glitchy sounding, but next week I will be back in town and it will be back to normal. And make sure to listen to the Dave Ryan Show on KDWB in Minneapolis, DaveRyanShow.com. You can listen by clicking the Listen Live link. And Kathleen, anything else?
No, that's it. So, Taste Buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, this is Taste Bud Querby. I'm first time calling, long time listener. I love you guys so much, and I just wanted to call in. I've been wanting to call in a lot of times, but this time I had to for the imposter syndrome. Kathleen, you and me, I feel like we are like on the same wavelength lately, and I feel like I'm just like what Bethany said, where it's like you're living in your mantras, and I need to stop doing that because I'm the first one to tell everyone else to just do something and not do it myself, like do as I say, not as I do kind of person. And I just wanted to say that you are like saying everything in my head right now.
Hi ladies, it's Blair. I'm just calling to say I literally paused the podcast for the bonus episode because Bethany, the same thing happened to me with my flu shot. I felt this weird like air bubble foam thing happen and I got really freaked out. I was gonna die, but it turns out the shot's in your muscles, so that's why you won't die. But also I had a terrible reaction from my shot, so I'm convinced they gave me my shot wrong. I hope it doesn't happen to you.
Hi ladies, this is Alex from New York. I was just listening to episode 200. I am a teacher, so I was listening during first period when I had free and was literally laminating while you were talking about laminators. And I agree, laminating is so satisfying.
Thank you guys for all that you do. Love you, ladies. Hi, my name's Caitlin. I just wanted to say, oh gosh, this is more awkward than I anticipated. Oh, I've been really struggling with postpartum depression and anxiety for too long, to say the least. But I just wanted to say that your podcast truly is a bright part in my week, and I look forward to it always. I just wanted to say thank you. You ladies make me feel like I have strong girlfriends, the kind that I truly wish everybody had in their lives.
Hi, ladies. It's Sam from Ohio. I just wanted to call. I also sent an email today because, Kathleen, your words about you having a seat at the table, the imposter syndrome, all that stuff was so incredible to me. And it moved me so much. I am a kindergarten teacher, which sounds really cute and fun, but isn't. And it's a really hard job. And, you know, things have changed in the world and the way people parent and the way kids are nowadays. Things are just different than they used to be. And so we have a lot of different challenges in the classroom that I really don't think that I was prepared for when I went to college.
Hello, ladies. So I was just listening to the imposter part of the latest podcast, and I had this thought that I wonder how many people in the past felt like imposters, because I have a theory that social media and seeing people where they are makes us feel less valid. And so what would Kathleen's imposter syndrome feel like if there was no social media in her life? I know that I felt like an imposter most of my life because I am a jack of all trades, but master of none. I don't know. This is your Taste Bud in Arkansas, posing questions for you guys to ask the universe.